Hello everyone, I'm George from Ireland. Welcome back to my channel. And this is about this book here, A Class of Their Own by Matt Knott. Matt, methinks, short for Matthew. And this was published in 2022, if memory serves, Adventures in Tutoring the Super Rich. Well, this is droll. It's supremely well crafted. It reads like a film script. He aspired to be someone who writes screenplays, and indeed he does now. And it's very eye-opening book. It's got lots of superb pen portraits, very vivid about the lives of super affluent people in London, Russia, elsewhere. So Matt Knott, he writes it with pace and verve. So it's not written in such a highfalutin vocabulary, but he's always got le mot juste each time. So he describes it in 2008. He just graduated from university, who moved back to his parents. His parents are both teachers at an independent school called Canford, which he himself had attended on a scholarship. He's one of four children. So he was upper middle class in as much as he went to a public school, i.e. fee paying, open to the public if you can pay, and all that. And there are plenty of books around the house. But on the other hand, very much lower middle class financially. And he was going to school, people who were much wealthier than he was. He went on to Cambridge University, where he did a Spanish and Italian degree. I don't know which college. Upon graduation, he shifted back to his parents, unsure what to do with himself. How is he going to make himself a Hollywood scriptwriter? When he gets a message from his friend, Zoe, come to London, why not be a study buddy? Well, I've got no experience teaching. Okay, as part of my degree, I spent a year in Guatemala, I helped out the school a little bit, but I wouldn't consider that teaching. No, come, you can make £30 an hour, which apparently wasn't bad for someone with only just a degree in 2008. So he's sofa surfing in London, and he gets into this, and agencies are putting him in. And so he then has a glimpse into the frankly bizarre world of the super wealthy around London. And this is the time of From Russia with Cash, when even though it was just after the murder of Alexander Litvinenko, relations between the Russian Federation and the United Kingdom were still at the height of their cordiality. And so a lot of people from Russia and other former Soviet countries were coming to the United Kingdom, and London was booming the property market. And then private tutoring was really getting going at the time. A lot of agencies were set up. Simply Learning Tuition, Cornerstone, Keystone, what are the other ones, and putting their tutors' profiles on their website and things like that. So he blurs the identity of people to protect their anonymity, and so giving a few false names, but nevertheless he really brings his characters to life. There's some quick fire dialogue. Punctuated a few text messages between him and Zoe and his parents towards the end. Scenes never go on for too long, so it's got a very episodic feel. And he doesn't tell you everything, only the fascinating episodes, just to keep it entertaining, keep it light. But there are some more philosophical reflections as he goes along. So so he's dealing with like roughly 10 families. And you'll meet the mum, the dad, one or two of the children, some of the staff, because they have butlers and nannies and cooks and whatnot. They're flying to Switzerland to do some tutoring there. So I'll just read you a little selection of it about when he goes up to a house in one of London's most exclusive areas, Highgate. Ironically enough, where Karl Marx, the scourge of capitalism, is buried. So listen to this. The houses were vast and ostentatious, but there was something childish about their design, as if what their owners' millions had afforded them was the chance to indulge impulses that most of us only ever play out in Lego. My client's home was a Georgian mansion, renovated to within an inch of its life. A sweeping driveway led up to an elevated front door flanked by Doric columns and an entrance so grand that it risked overhyping what was inside. The door was answered by an extremely handsome blonde man in a suit, his trousers so tight that both his testicles were on proud display. I almost gasped as I realized I was in the presence of a butler. He felt like a unicorn, something you expected to encounter in stories, but never real life. Matthew, who said, I'm Gustav. Let me take you to meet Beatriz. And it goes on. Beatriz is Brazilian. She's the mother. The father is British. And so it goes on. Now, I was going to point out, Matt Knott says he's gay, very, very gay, and is able to lead a promiscuous gay life in London, has a boyfriend towards the end, and ends up in bed with Gustav. But that's another story. So writing rather bitchily about a lot of the pairs, those he likes, he dislikes, how, well, it's the perennial tale that money doesn't guarantee happiness. They're just unappreciative of it. His pupils, some are utter brats and rats, but some aren't. Some are wise and appreciative and very personable. Some are very hypocritically disgusted by their parents' wealth, but it doesn't stop them enjoying it. So I'll lead you a little bit about that mum, Beatrice. Helping themselves with two small boys accompanied by a nanny, while Beatrice, presumably, hovered nearby. She was beautiful and very thin, dressed in loose, feather-like fabrics, as if a frame was too delicate to support anything else. "Eat!" she screamed at the boys. "Eat!" She looked up at me as she saw me enter and immediately formed a smile. "It would be great if you could expand his palate," said Beatrice, without missing a beat. "He only likes it if it's dry and crunchy." I briefly wondered if this was all a big mistake, and there was some dietitian or a child psychologist called Matthew out by the security barrier, trying to gain access, while the woman with the spaniel gave him the stink eye. But no, Beatrice appeared to regard it as my job to convince her son to eat something wet and sloppy. "Felix," said Beatrice, "say hello to your tutor." The older boy looked at me, who was short and skinny for his age, with an air of studied nonchalance. He held my gaze, then ignored his mother's instruction and grabbed a handful of nuts. "Help yourself," said Beatrice, laughing nervously. "We don't eat as a family. We graze." And so it goes on. And he discovers that PJs, in their context, doesn't mean pajamas. It's private jets. Goes skiing with them. He notices the counter signaling by the families, because upper middle class people would show off a little by ordering the more expensive items on the menu when fine dining, but multimillionaires find that to be in for a dig, and so they'll have quite cheap items and things like that. So they'll take their lifestyle for granted. There might one of them, the pater's a workaholic, even though he's a multi-billionaire, even though actually the credit crunch boosts his business, he works even more. And so what's the purpose of the money? So they all, there's a neuroticism that runs through being very wealthy. So some of them have a superiority complex. So they're moody. And just because they're financially well looked after, that doesn't mean these children have got no other psychological problems. Some of them deeply don't care about which school they go to. Others are fixated with it. So he has some empathy for others. He has no fellow feeling for them, and how he keeps getting rejected producing these film scripts. But in fact, he's gathered better material by meeting this cast of characters than he could have doing a more conventional job. And then he also feels very inadequate, because a lot of his Canterburyan contemporaries have gone into more conventional careers in management consultancy, or banking, or getting training contracts to be a solicitor with a city law firm, things like that. And it's leavened with a lot of mirth about parties he goes to, where a young woman loudly boasts that she fucked a clown and things like that. So it is hysterical, and it's never dull, unputdownable. A little bit confusing about the characters who we keep coming back to, because it interspersed the several different families, because, you know, you'll have Joe on Monday and then on Wednesday, but in between you'll have on Tuesday you'll have Samantha and Bob, and then you'll have Bob on Thursday and Fred on Thursday night as well, and you'll have Susie on Friday, and then you'll have Samantha again on Friday, and so you'll come back to the same person several times and might get a little bit mixed up with who they are. But warmly recommended to you. So it's been on television about this. We'd like to see a lot more from Matt Knott. Right, thank you for watching my channel. So make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate to PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Toodaloo.